קל לשור חס, קר פס יחס, מגיד רוחצו, מויצי מצו. קל לשור חס, קר פס יחס, מגיד רוחצו, מויצי מצו. מורור כוי רך, שור חון אוי רך, צופון בורי חלל מרצו.
וידבר אדוני אל משה אחרי מוס שני בני אהרון בקורבסם לפני אדוני וימוסו. Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of Aharon's two sons when they approached before Hashem and they died. Dot, dot, dot. V'orava l'Adonai Minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim Kimei Olam Uchshanim Kadmanios. Dot, dot, dot. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oso V'chorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim U'mishpatim. Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eis Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Adonai Hagadol Vahanora. Veheshiv Levavos Albanim Velev Banim Alavosam Penavo Vikesi Esaretz Cherem Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eis Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Adonai Hagadol V'hanora. Then the offering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim will be pleasing to Hashem as in days of old and in former years. Dot, dot, dot. Remember the teaching of Moshe my servant, which I commanded him at Chorev for all Israel, decrees and ordinances. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of HaGad. He shall restore the hearts of fathers to children and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with destruction. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of Hashem. Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat Parshat Acharei, also known as Acharei Mot, which is this year Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat before Pesach. Recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 10th day of Nisan 5774 and of April 2014. We are in that matched month of April and Nisan, Nisan and April. May and Iyar will be matched also, and that'll be the third month this year to be matched Hebrew and English, but we've spoken of that in the past. Let me explain briefly the introduction so far. I started with a track, part of a track, from an album called Seder Pesach in the style of Karlbach, Shlomo Karlbach. Avi Barak is the one who did the album. It has 15 tracks, many of them from the Pesach Seder, some of them from Hallel, all in Karlbach melodies. So you get a little different flavor than the standard songs of the Seder that we were all taught from kindergarten on, as the case may be. And I thought it would be interesting to play some of those for you. Then I read the first pasuk from the Sedra of Acharei with its English translation. Then I skipped to the Haftarah for Shabbat HaGadol. The regular Haftorah of Acharimot is preempted, as it usually is for different reasons. And we read the Haftorah special for Shabbat HaGadol. Shabbat HaGadol in a 12-month year, a Shana Peshuta, is always Parshat Tzav. In a 13-month year, a Shana Me'uberet, a 2 Adar year, as this one is, it is sometimes Mitzora and sometimes Acharei. So we happen to be on one of those years where Acharei is the Parsha of Shabbat HaGadol, and there's an interesting analysis that could be made of that conjunction, specifically of that Sedra with the Haftorah. I read the first Pasuk of the Haftorah, which spoke about times of old, and then towards the end, remembering the Torah of Moshe and the promise for the future when Eliyahu HaNavi will be the harbinger of messianic times, and generations will be reconciled, and if I could find that song, I'll play it for you. But that's where we're holding. I gave you the date. I gave you that. Let's get into first a little bit of Acharimot, and then mostly Pesach, since this is the pre-Pesach show. Okay, here we go. Keeping in mind that Parshat HaShavua and the calendar don't always relate to each other, and especially when you have situations around Adar and Nisan where the Parshat HaShavua is different depending on whether it's a 12-month or a 13-month year. So what I will suggest for a connection between Acharei and HaGadol won't work next year when Tzav will be HaGadol. But that's the way it goes. So however often this happens, which I think is a little more than 10% of the time, and not evenly distributed, this is the thought that one can have. There are, let's start with this. Acharimot is two-thirds of it are the Torah readings of Yom Kippur. The first reading, which is in the morning, is about Yom Kippur in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash, and a little bit about Yom Kippur in general. And then skip the 17th chapter of Vayikra. You have at the end of Acharei the forbidden sexual relationships and various other prohibitions of a very high and serious type. And that's the laning, the Torah reading, for Mincha on Yom Kippur. It just happens to be that it's serving now as the Torah reading right before Pesach. So you might want to ask your Seder guests, starting with the children and going up to the adults, what connection they see between Yom Kippur and Pesach. Well, I have this memory from a number of years ago when my whippersnapper oldest grandchild, who's now almost 14, then he must have been about 8, said to me before the Seder, "I have no questions to ask because I know everything." So I said, "Okay, that's fine with me. Just be here." And the first thing that I did in front of him was put on a kittel. And he said, "Why are you wearing a kittel?" And I said, "Sounds like a question." And there were many, many questions from him in the course of the Seder where he realized that he didn't know everything. And there was a lot more to learn, and there always is a lot more to learn. But kittel is one of the similarities and one of the common features, we'll say, of Yom Kippur and Leil HaSeder. And not that everybody wears a kittel on Yom Kippur, and not that everyone wears a kittel at the Seder. But those who do, those are the two times a year that they wear a kittel. And if you want to add Rosh Hashanah for some people, it's still Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is the days of awe, with Pesach, which is a celebration of the birth of the nation. So one needs to ponder a connection between Yom Kippur and Pesach. But before we ponder it together, let's take a look at a couple of other things. There are two times a year where we say and sing Lishana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya, next year in rebuilt Jerusalem. One is Yom Kippur at the culmination of Ne'ilah, and the other is the Seder night at the culmination of the Seder, except for the fact that other poems were added in later period of time. Once upon a time, the Seder ended the same way Yom Kippur ended, with Lishana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya. So that's another thing. One of the odd common factors, or not really common, I don't know the right term for it, contrasting features, we'll say, is nuts. N-U-T-S. Nuts. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, there is a minhag not to eat nuts. Pesach, not only do you eat nuts, but charoset is made with ground up nuts. And there was a very time-honored tradition, which I'm sure still exists in some communities, of giving nuts, specifically roly-polies, hazelnuts, to children, which we, I remember, fondly used to play. And similar to marbles, except a filbert, a hazelnut, does not roll as true and as smoothly as a marble does, which made the game more interesting. And so there's a contrasting feature, but it's, in certain people's experience, a prominent thing. The thing that puts it all together is one word, teshuvah, repentance, and a qualification of the word as applied to each of the days. Yom Kippur, the association would be teshuvah, repentance, miyirah, from fear and reverence and awe of God. The flavor of teshuvah, Pesach time, is one of teshuvah me'ahava, repentance out of joy, out of love, I should say, and joy. And it's qualitatively different from the repentance of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but teshuvah is the common thread. The kittel connection, it's a little complicated because there are different reasons for wearing a kittel on both times, but there's the being like an angel rising in levels of Kedusha, which is significant for both times, and the garments of the Kohen, it's a reminder of those as well, which fits with Yom Kippur service, and it fits with the Korban Pesach and the experience of the Seder night. The Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, I would say that both days, because of Teshuvah, focus on the Geula, because the ultimate goal on a national level of repentance is to achieve the time of complete redemption, which still eludes us, and the key as individuals and on a national level is repenting and return both to God's teachings, as in Zichru Torat Moshe, and return to Eretz Yisrael. Let's move on. I'm sure you've all heard Ma Nishtana HaLayla HaZeh Mikol HaLaylot over the years, and you'll hear it again in a couple of days. And it's standard, and all of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren learn it. Here's a different Karlbach-flavored Manishtana. Take a look at Manishtana from a couple of angles. First of all, Manishtana is first presented to us in the Mishnah, 10th chapter of Psachim, as that which a parent teaches his child to ask in the event that the child does not come up with his own questions. And this is an important idea. I am not recommending, although some actually write that it wouldn't be necessary to say Manishtana if you have questions. Other questions. I'm not recommending that we do away with it. It's part of the Seder. It's a beloved part of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and listening to the little kids say Manishtana. I have fond memories in my childhood of one of us asking in Hebrew and another in Yiddish and another in English and my aunt in Spanish. And then when I was in high school and I took French, I learned without the proper accent, but I learned Pourquoi cette nuit est-elle différente de toutes les autres nuits? Toutes les autres nuits, nous mangeons pain ou pain azim. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah, v'chule v'chule, etc., etc. So that was fun. And but you should know that the source of Manishtana is the Mishnah that uses it to prompt the child to ask questions. Because he wasn't able to come up with questions on his own, or wasn't interested to come up with on his own, or knowledgeable enough, or alert enough, or whatever. One way or the other, there's Manishtana, and a second question that you could ask is, does it one question or four questions? They're known as the four questions. So if you want to look at it that way, you're asking, how come on this night we eat matzah? And how come on this night we eat maror? And how come on this night we have two required dippings? And how come on this night we eat while reclining? That would be the way that you would look at Manishtana in the perspective of four questions. There's another way of looking at it, and that is one question with four examples. In other words, why is this night so different from other nights? For example, we eat matzah, which is a sign of slavery. as we just announced, right before the child says Manishtana, this is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. And we eat Maror, which is a symbol of the bitterness of the light as slaves. On the other hand, we dip, and that is a luxurious manner of eating. It stimulates the appetite, and it's associated more with freedom and nobility. And reclining when you eat, if you picture those types of couches, personal couch with an arm that made it very comfortable to recline and eat in a luxurious, noble kind of manner. So the question is, why is this night so different that we have signs of slavery and signs of freedom when other nights we have a single theme? What are we doing in a sukkah? We're in a sukkah on Sukkot because God protected us in the wilderness and during the 40 years of wandering. And why do we blow shofar? Because whatever. Why do we light Hanukkah candles? Because of the miracles that occurred. But Pesach is the confusing one because we have symbols of slavery and we have symbols of freedom. In fact, if I could continue in this direction, and this is the flavor, at least from a Haggadah called From Twilight to Dawn, where I'm going a little further than it expresses there. But his basic idea was not why is this night different from last Tuesday night. It's why is this night different from all other different nights. It's not like Yom Kippur night, and it's not like Shabbos night, meaning Friday night, and it's not like Hanukkah, and it's not like Purim, because all of those have a single theme in a single direction. And here, it's the contrast. Now, first of all, if you take that as the questions or question, we answer it in a very a quick manner by what follows the Manishtana, and that is Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'Yod Chazaka U'Vizroa Netuya. We were slaves in Egypt, and God redeemed us with a mighty hand. So that encapsulates the we were slaves, and therefore we have symbols of slavery, and God took us out, so we have symbols of freedom. A little bit later in the Seder, we say the same kind of thing, but in a spiritual way. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu, our ancestors were originally idol worshippers, V'achshav Kervanu HaMakom L'Avodato. So again, there's that sharp contrast, which is the unique theme of Pesach. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more.
Soy hoy, לושיקה צורנו בסייחו ולא זיפק צורחינו במדבור ארבעים שונו די 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 אלינו די 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 אלינו די 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 אלינו די 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 אלינו אילו זיפק צורחינו במדבור ארבעים שונו ולא החילונו אסמון אילו החילונו samor velo no salonu esa shabos dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino ilu no san lonu esa shabos velo ikervonu lifnei har sinai ilu kervonu lifnei har sinai velo no salonu satoiro dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino iluno sanlo no e satoiro velo ichni sonno le retisroei ilu ichni sonno le retisroei velo vonno lo anu bevei sapiro dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino dai 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 eino
again not the dayenu that we're used to but the Karlbach version of it or a Karlbach version of it. And I hope that it expanded your horizons. We'll talk more about Dayenu in a little while. Just looking back at the Manishtana issue, want to know if we should move on from that. You know, I was describing the different questions that makes up the different stanzas of the Manishtana. And even though that might not be the official questions that we're meant to ask, it should also react in some people by saying, that's a good question. How come? So any input that you have there on a personal level is important, and I am big on letting discussions happen at the Seder table. And sometimes you have to rein them in because they tend to go far and wide, but that seems to be the tone. I have an old question which always used to nag me. And that is, take a contrast between the Chacham and the Tam, the wise child and the simple child. The simple child says, Mazot, what's this? And the answer that the Haggadah instructs us to provide him is the story of the Exodus, which seems to be what we're supposed to be telling that night. V'higadta levincha bayom hahu lemor ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeitim in Mitzrayim. The question of the Chacham is answered with a halachic answer. You teach him Hilchot Pesach, including and up to Ein Maftir Nachar HaPesach Afikoman, and it does not seem to stress the story, but rather the halachic aspects of the Seder. Now, this leads in to another part of the Seder, which the comment of which I think is a valuable one. When we get to the part that we quote, again, the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, the one that says, Kol shelo amar shlosha devarim elu ba-pesach lo yatsa yedei chovato, anyone who has not said these three things has not fulfilled his obligation. And it's Pesach, Matzah, and Moror, and a discussion of the Korban Pesach, and a presentation of why Matzah and why Moror. And he who has not said should not be translated just as said or recited, but it should be spoken about. Now, a question that I've seen in certain Haggadot is, when it says, has not fulfilled his obligation, the question is, the obligation of what? The obvious answer is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus. So what does Pesach, Matzah, and Moror, yes, of course, they have to do with the story, but why does that become the focal point and the building blocks of the fulfillment of the mitzvah? And the answer, I believe, is something that has been hinted at in various passages of the Haggadah, and that is that the laws of Pesach, including the prohibitions of chametz and the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of korban Pesach and its details and its prohibitions and moror, are insufficiently fulfilled, we'll say, by just physically doing the act that's required. Again, simple. To eat matzah. You take a certain amount of shmura matzah, and you make your brachot, and you chew it up, and you swallow, and you chew more, and you swallow more, and you chew more, and you swallow more, until you have satisfied whoever is giving out the quantities of matzah, and the mitzvah has been done. But unless you speak about matzah, which the Haggadah provides a template for, matzah zo sho'anu ochlim al shuma, this matzah which we eat, why do we eat it? And then a little passage and a quote from the Torah. So the point is that that discussion, that speaking about why we eat matzah, belongs to the fulfillment of the mitzvah to eat matzah. I am not suggesting that you don't fulfill the obligation of eating matzah if you don't talk about it. But I'm definitely suggesting that there's something sadly missing from the eating of matzah if it is not an object of discussion. Now remember, it's in the Manishtana, and it's referred to here and there. We say it in Holach Ma'anya, we say it differently in Matzah Zushan Ochlim Al Shumma. But that should be the basic text which leads to a further discussion. For example, the one that I think we had last week on the show about why is this kulo matzah, exclusively matzah, and the answer being that matzah symbolizes slavery and it also symbolizes freedom. But there are all kind of other questions. Why are matzah and chametz so similar except for time? And what does that represent? It represents the haste in which we left Egypt. And why is the haste in which we left Egypt an important factor? Because it is linked to trust in God. I know I just jumped to another subject, but let's go there now. There's a word that's very hard to pronounce, which we say in the Haggadah, and that's lehitmahmeha, that they did not linger when they were told to leave, and that is considered a praise of the people of Israel, that they did not even pack their food and properly prepare their food, but they left on instruction, as opposed to, in contrast with, lot, where the Torah not only says, but emphasizes it with a very unusual Torah note, Vayitma ma, he lingered. Angels came to save him. They told him the city is being destroyed. Leave the city. And he lingered. To what? His bowling trophy that was on the shelf. He had to take that with him. And, of course, his stamp collection and maybe some baseball cards, whatever. The point is, the word is no accident. It's not used all that often. It's used in praise of Bnei Israel, the people of Israel who left Egypt with haste, and in contrast to Lot, who lingered, which he should not have done. This haste shows up in the roasting of the Korban Pesach. Take that as an example, even though we don't do it today, but take it as an example. Korban Pesach is eaten only when roasted. Roasting is the least economic but tastiest way to prepare meat, and therefore it is a sign of luxury and freedom. A poor person who gets a hold of a piece of meat will cook it to swell it, will leave over, which you're not allowed to do in the Korban Pesach, for another meal, will break the bones and suck out the marrow, which you're not allowed to do, have it for another day by taking the broth that was produced by the cooking. None of that. It's roasted, the meat shrinks, it is extremely tasty, it's eaten up at the Seder night, and if not, anything is left over, it's burned. There is no such thing as we'll have leftover Korban Pesach tomorrow. So that's one aspect of Korban Pesach, but so is haste. Roasting is the quickest way to prepare food. And on the night of actual Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Jews had to be ready to travel, their bags packed, their staff in their hand, their belts girded, and ready to go at a moment's notice. So you have a blend of luxurious manner of eating and something that represents haste, because that is very telling in the trust and faith that the people put in God. Speaking of the four children, which we were before, first of all, as I wrote in Torah Tibbetz also, they are not the four sons, they are the four children. The word banim can be inclusive, which it is in this context, and occasionally it's exclusive, and you need the oral Torah to teach us when Bain is a son, Ben is a son, and when it is a child, when Yom is the daytime, or when it is a 24-hour period, when Shor is an ox specifically, or a generic term for farm animals, inclusive, exclusive, that's a vagary of language which is solved in our case by the oral law and tradition. So, the four children. Of all the explanations, the one that I relate to most is that we're dealing not with four separate children, but we're dealing with the four components of every person. Every person is made up of a chacham, a rasha, a tam, and a she'inu yodeh lish'ol. And some people can be 85% chacham, 3% rasha, 10% tam, and 2% she'inu yodeh lish'ol. Probably more likely a greater percentage for she'inu yodeh lish'ol, especially as I like to interpret it, and that is not someone so young or so inexperienced or so uncaring that he doesn't know how to ask a question. It could be a very wise person who has the answers already to the basic questions and doesn't know that there is more to ask about. This is my theory, that a chacham becomes a she'inu yodeh lish'ol when you answer his question, and so does a tam. So you have to keep stimulating with new ideas to bring out more questions, and hopefully in the direction of chacham and not in the direction of rasha. The rasha asks his question sometimes sarcastically, sometimes scoffingly, but he still asks questions and he still needs to get an answer. But getting back to the components of one person, when I described the percentages, that really was misleading, because everyone's percentages change all the time. And from subject to subject, there are different sets of percentages. In other words, when it comes to spiders, a person who is not a world expert on spiders is by and large a she'inu yodeh lish'ol and a tam when it comes to spiders. How many people know the names for different spiders and species and different characteristics and how the webs are made and all of that kind of stuff? So you can be a chacham, you could be a rasha, you could be a tam, you could be a she'inu yodeh lish'ol about the topic of spiders, but when it comes to the topic of tribes of Israel, you could be more knowledgeable, and then botany and other sciences and history and English literature. It's all different. Now, as long as I went in that direction, let me finish up on that. I've always been a firm believer that the Seder experience is not just about Pesach. It's not just about the birth of the Jewish nation, but it's about how one generation transmits any kind of knowledge to the next generation, the question and answer process, and therefore the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Sheino Yedei Lashol are not exclusively Pesach-related. They relate to all kind of knowledge, both Jewish and general. I don't know, let me put it this way. I believe very much in saying everything that's written in the Haggadah, but certainly never leaving it at that. And if push comes to shove, there are definitely parts that you can just get the gist of if legitimate questions and answers bring you to a better place. I don't know how that sounds, but I'll leave it like that. I'd like to finish the show with the way we finished the Seder, Chad Gadya, also from that album by Avi Barak. I don't know how much of it I'll have left to play. It's a five-minute song, and there are less than 5 minutes at the moment, and I'm still not finished talking. The Seder and all of Pesach should be a family experience, a friend's experience, a warm atmosphere that people can grow in their Jewish knowledge and Jewish commitment. And I know that there are many activities that people do during the week which are just fun, Chol HaMoed, don't have time to get into that, but there should be something of good Jewish content in every day of Pesach, especially when families are together and there are children. So let's leave it at that. I mean, there's a lot more, which we don't have time to go into. I'll mention that Sfirat HaOmer begins next Tuesday evening, and you could find an Omer calendar and chart on the TTTidbits.com website, the Torah Tidbits website. And what more? Lots more. I could just wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat HaGadol Shalom, and a Chag Pesach Kasher V'Sameach. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to record and send up the show next Thursday during Chol HaMoed. I will try, but my track record isn't that good with that. One way or the other, have a very, very happy and meaningful experience of Pesach L'Hishtamea.
ואוכלו לגדיו, ויוכלו לגדיו. דזבינה בו בשרי זוזי, בשרי זוזי. חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו. חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו. ויוס הקרבו ונושך לשונרו, ונושך לשונרו. ויוכלו לגדיו דזבינה בו בישרי זוזי חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי חד גדיו חד גדיו, חד גדיו אוי חד גדיו ויוסו חוטרו ועיקור את כלבו ונושך לשונרו ואוכלו לגדיו דזבינה בו בישרי זוזי חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו, חד גדיו, חד גדיו, אוי חד גדיו. ואוסו נורו ושורף לחוטרו, דהי כל לכלבו, דנושך לשונרו, דאוכלו לגדיו, דזבינה פה בישרי זוזי. חד גדיו,
had gadio, oi had gadio, had gadio, had gadio, oi had gadio. Deyo sumayo vechovo le nuro, de sorom le futro de hiko le kalbo, de noshach le shunro de ochlo le gadio, de zavin apo bisrei zuzei, had gadio, had gadio, oi had gadio. Gadio, had gadio, oi had gadio. Ve yo somayo de chovo le nuro, de soro le chutro de hiko le kalbo, de noshach le shunro de ochlo le gadio, de zavin apo bisrei zuzei. Had gadio, had gadio, oi had gadio, had gadio, had gadio. Yo soy robe shosole mayo de jovo le nuro de sora de jutro de icole calvo de no shahle shunro de yo le gallo de za